You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Fosters After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Fosters After Show.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, everybody? It's The Fosters After Show, AfterBuzz TV. And we are so excited to talk about The Longest Day, an exciting episode, because we've got a special guest. Welcome back, Hayden.
Yay! Thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We're so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to be back. It's super cool.
Yeah, the infamous Judicorn.
Yep. He speaks, actually. He speaks.
Yeah,
he spoke a lot this episode.
He's finally talking again.
We were nervous to have you on an earlier episode because we were like, what if he can't talk to us?
Yeah, right?
He's stealing character.
He's actually mute. I just come on and just sit here.
That would be perfect.
Yeah,
lots of good sound bites.
Yeah.
Our podcast listeners would love
that. Well, you've already proven to have really good facial expressions, so I feel like the show would still be that good.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very cool. But yeah, I'm glad I did a good job.
What a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
This is a big episode for Callie and Jude. You guys were on a boat. Bam. Nailed it.
Yeah.
How was it shooting on the boat?
It was super cool. It was really windy and really cold the days that we shot on the boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really cold.
Oh, so days?
Yeah, I think it was 3 days that we shot on the boat.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So that was, like, actually out, like, on sea, not just in the harbor, right?
Yeah. No, that was on the harbor. Nothing was really... Oops, sorry. Nothing was, like, in the ocean. It was really, really close by.
TV magic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How'd it work?
Movie magic. But it was just super windy, so it appeared as though we were actually...
Yeah.
Going to
the boat was actually moving.
Nice.
What about, like, the sound for that? Like, how do you, like, get the mics?
Yeah, that was one of the main issues that they had. They kept having to change out the filters of the mics, so that way they could adjust for it, and the actors had to speak up a lot because they couldn't necessarily hear if you talked super low.
Okay, no whisper acting.
No whisper. Right. I mean, it was a huge change for you because, you know, we're used to seeing you in the house, basically.
Yeah, or at school.
And at school, right. So it was nice to get out?
Yeah. Finally, Jude leaves the house other than to go to school. Yeah, it was super cool. I think it was really fun that Jude finally got to go and have, like, a little adventure. He went out and kind of explored and went with his sister and met her
Sophia,
other family.
Yeah.
How was it working with
Kurt Smith?
Yeah, Kurt. Well, she wants to know about Kurt Smith.
Right?
I want to know about Bailey.
They're both awesome. Kurt is a very nice guy. He's super cool. Sophia is, or Bailey. Sorry, Bailey Madison is awesome. She's super cool. It's always fun to kind of work with her because she's always filming Trophy Wives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like, you know, a big thing whenever she's here because she's always doing that. She was always filming somewhere else. So it's super cool getting to actually work with her.
She's a busy girl.
She is. She's
impressive.
Doing a lot. Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't realize that she was still on Trophy Wife. I thought that ended. It did. I guess it didn't.
No.
I mean, you would know better.
I mean, unless she's doing something else.
Show.
Yeah, right? Congrats.
No, I thought that she ended on the show, not the show.
Yeah.
I would like that show taken off air.
I like the show.
So, Kara Smith has such a massive following from Dawson's Creek. Did you know about...
I did not know... I don't know. I didn't know what Dawson's Creek was. Yeah, I've never seen it.
What a shame.
I know.
It's on Netflix. It's okay.
I'll be able to go watch it now.
So good.
But Kerr loved to talk about it.
Oh,
he
really?
Loved to say it was on Dawson's Creek.
With Michelle Williams.
Yes. And James Vanderbeek and Joshua Jackson.
And Katie Holmes. Guys.
Did he tell you stories about Michelle Williams?
No, he did not.
Really?
Surprisingly, he didn't tell a lot of stories about the cast. Maybe because he didn't know if I would really, you know, be able to understand who he was talking about. But no, he didn't talk too much about the cast.
you know, your characters on both the shows were somewhat similar. Besides, well, he's gay on Dawson's Creek, but before that, he just was really, like, soft-spoken, so kind to everyone, was a younger brother, had an older sister. So I think that's funny that you guys started because now he's playing the position of a father and, you know, kind of mentoring that part.
Yeah, it's kind of similar roles.
A lot of parallels.
And he seems like such a good father. Mm-hmm. I love watching him.
He does such a good job.
Yeah, he's super cool.
Speaking of, like, him being a great father, I want to jump a little bit to the last scene that we saw him in. Because he's a good dad, do we think that he's going to try and get Callie adopted? Ooh. Because he sees how it's affecting Sophia?
I mean, I think he's happy that Sophia agrees, you know, wants it, because at the end of the day, he would be in the position that Callie is in with Jude, where Sophia, if you never want to see Callie again, we won't have to see her. And he's just trying to, I mean, apparently he was in love with Callie's mother, so I know that's what's holding him to her also. And then just to see her in, like, a different light, how similar the characteristics that they have, I would assume that he would try to, he would want to, now that Sophia's kind of sparked it. She's planted a seed in his head.
I agree that, like, the seed is planted, but I really do not think he'll try to, like, break them up.
Probably not,
because he started out the scene by saying she has a family, mm-hmm. and she seems mm-hmm. very happy there. So why would he, like, go against her best interest for the interest of Sophia?
Okay, but did you think that Jill, the mom, was fishing with him?
She was, I think, as much as a mother would, just trying to figure it out because she doesn't know about this other daughter unless,
fishing for what?
I think that so obviously Jude did not speak up and say the real reason why Callie ran away, which was because of Brandon.
Right.
Because she was in love with her foster brother.
What the bad parts of Callie are and what she's been through and how it would affect or influence Sophia. So, but that's, like I said, that's kind of normal.
She doesn't trust her all the way yet. So continue your thought.
But don't you think that she could use that information against her?
Oh, absolutely.
And saying, like, oh, you can't go back to the Fosters because you were in love with your stepbrother. And she was saying it to make sure that she has nothing
to do with the family.
Listen, she wants Sophia to be happy.
She does.
Right?
Yeah. And Sophia, we saw that this episode.
And Sophia's attitude shifted when she was talking to Callie because all she wants to do is try to impress her. Right. So don't you think, like, I don't know, you can't really tell us because
what's
happening.
I know it's going to happen.
But
it's so much fun to hear your guys' point of views and really see what you think is going to happen, even knowing what's going to happen, because there's so many different possibilities and there's so many different ideas.
Right. Oh, and listen to guys.
Like a psycho, like maybe so invested.
Are we hot or cold?
The funny thing is that you've called a lot of stuff that's happened.
Okay, so Hayden did say that. He was like, you're... This one, the theorist over here. Watch out for her.
I can imagine, you know, what would naturally happen or what's good TV at the end of the day.
What would be the most dramatic is usually what? Oh my God.
But, like, that's what I was thinking the entire time. Okay, she's asking Jude all of these questions. She's mm-hmm. asking why, you know, why all of these things. And I feel like in order to get her daughter back, because, you know, how desperate can a mother be when her teenage daughter just, like, is just not digging her anymore and is only interested in this other thing, mm-hmm. you know, how can we sort of reel her back in? And I feel like
that'd be a good strategy
Jude would have spilled the beans, which we don't even know, maybe, you know, Sophia knows or Sophia will find out mm-hmm. what actually happened.
You could see it on Facebook.
Right. No.
Instagram again, it could come back. They're both photographers. Oh, yeah.
They're both photographers, right. I don't know, there's something about Sophia too. Her face is just very...
She's, like, hiding behind a smile.
She is hiding. It's definitely a mask because you can tell that she's trying to portray this person every time that she's around the family.
And well, do you want to talk about something that you brought up when we were watching it?
I do, but I feel like, well, can we... Okay. I don't know. How do you want to present it? I could, but
something that we have not... The Fosters has not hit on TV before.
Oh, God.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's true. Right. I know the comment that I made that... what was the last thing she said? Because it needs to make sense.
She was on the boat, and they were talking about how cool it would be if
Callie's mom said that when she smiled and said at the same time it wouldn't matter if I was there, that's when I thought that she could be possibly suicidal, especially because she has the character flaws for it where, you know, she's wearing that mask, and she's so happy-go-lucky about this new sister when you would think, unless her life was completely horrible... or excuse me, completely, like, if it was really perfect, you, why would you want someone else? And normally, like, you know, only children, only child probably goes through those things and wants to experience someone else, but at the same time, she could have been jealous or wanted nothing to do with it. She's like, she wants it too much. So there's, obviously there's nothing, their house isn't so perfect.
Right, but that's what she's presenting, is the perfectness. Right. And even if they didn't want to take it to, like, that drastic part of, like, the suicide, they could, she could be, like, a cutter.
She could be a cutter, she could be bipolar, she could be, you know, she could have a plethora of diseases that children that age have. But, I don't know, it was off. She said it with a smile. And then at the same, you know, who cares if I was around or not?
I just don't think that the writers have it in them to present a perfect family. I mean, we've seen them, you know, we've seen every part of the Fosters. We've seen, you know, other screwed up family relationships. I mean, look at Mariana, Zach's mom, and then that whole family over there, what happened like last season. And, you know, I just really think that it's all a facade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they have a seemingly perfect life.
Yeah.
But it could be covering a major thing.
Right.
And they're just willing to cover it up for long enough.
Mm-hmm. But perfect or not, do you really think that Jill, Kerr's wife is Jill, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that Jill would really want Callie to move in and be a part of their family?
No. I mean, to be perfectly honest, if I was a mother, I don't know if I would want that. Mm-hmm. Because they've already created a family within their own, and that's too dramatic. She's still too young to even have to go through that and accept it. I'd understand more, like, more visits, more outings together, but not to invite her into the home.
Yeah, like, be a part of the family, but don't, like, live here.
Right.
And even if it comes to the point where Kerr says, do we want her to be, like, living in the family, I think he would ask her again. He said, do you want me to start a college fund for you? Of course you want that money for college. I'm still paying off student loans.
He still has guilt, but I do like that the writers...
Yeah, but I think that he would ask her, do you want to move in?
He feels guilty, but I do love that the writers are... you know, making sure that we know that he was so in love with her mom. The fact that he had all those pictures. So that's something else too, because he could easily just be kind of wanting to get something back that he didn't get before. Because the woman that he loved, he didn't know that he made a child with, to see her again is partially seeing this, you know, it's a little bit of a flashback, and it's the one thing that he has of his past now. So how do you let that go, even as a man, if that was your first love?
It's part of him.
Exactly.
Hayden, do you think that, I mean.
Did you see, I just looked over and Hayden's like,
Hayden's like, yes, everything. Yep. Everything you said, yes.
Yep.
You know, so obviously you have two female figures in your life in the house. Without telling us too much, do you think that the way that Jude saw how Kerr Smith, what is his name on the show?
Robert
Quinn, right. Do you think, because Jude saw how Robert was, do you think he's going to be looking for sort of a father figure now to cling to?
Maybe. Obviously, like he was saying, you know, he really liked Robert and Jill. They were very nice people. Even though he still doesn't want Callie to be a part of this other family.
Right, because why would he want to share?
Yeah, he doesn't really want to give her up, but... He still thought that they were very nice people. Maybe, but Jude has his dad. You know, he has his real dad as well. So, you know, he might try and cling more to Donald, rather than to Robert, Callie's dad, because he might be afraid that if he really does warm up to them and show them a lot of approval, that they might think that
it's okay that you'd be okay
both,
with it.
And yeah, they both want
sure
to can adopt them.
Can you tell us if Donald is coming back?
Maybe, or not.
He almost looked at me like, should I
was kind of like, well,
do you know,
I mean,
Steph? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Listen, your publicist is going to be very proud of you, but we are sorely disappointed.
Right.
Okay, but tell us this. They're splitting up the seasons again, right? I think that's
They do 10 episodes and then 11.
So you are still, like, very much in the dark about the second half of the season, even. You have, like, no idea.
I have no idea.
Wow.
I have no idea what's going to happen for any of the half of the second season.
And knowing the writer is really big.
Well, I just want to say that I trust wholeheartedly Robert Quinn's character.
I do too.
Especially after he didn't, you could even see it in Callie's face how relieved she was when he made it clear to Jude, because he completely understands the situation, sees, you know, this younger sibling, and kind of just lets Jude feel more comfortable in the very beginning when he mentions, I hope that, you know, we're not trying to take her and whatever, and I'd love to get to know you more also. That was so comforting to me. And I know that it's truthful. It's just, what's unfortunate is that both Jill and Sophia seem so... There's something
unpredictable.
They had the same thing that Danny did. There was something about Danny, you know?
Yeah.
And there's just something about both of those.
See, I assume best intentions for Jill, though.
I do, too, but I just... I don't want... something seen in a lot of old movies when, like, a stepmother becomes jealous of the... Your first daughter.
Right.
You know? I kind of see Jill has that in her a little bit, because she already found out that that he regretted. That was the one thing that he regretted, was to leave her. Mm-hmm. So she already knows that. That's already going to just... She has to live with hearing that for the rest of her marriage.
It could be, too, that the writers are, like, leading us down that storyline to be like, JK, we fooled you. And, like, not lead us there.
It could be.
It was, like, leading us towards Anna's death. We're like, oh, she's dead. It's dead for body.
I think they're leading us to see that she's so kind, when I think that Jill will mostly just be jealous. Her daughter and her husband is obsessed with Callie right now.
Yeah.
You know? And this has nothing to do with her.
That's true.
I think she's bad.
You think she's bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think know. She's good. Outweighs one, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think that...
We won't let
you
vote.
Yeah, right? I can't vote.
It seems like she's trying to cover up perfect. You know, she's trying to cover up all of these things. And she is the one that is sort of dictating the time spent with Callie. Mm-hmm. Both of the interactions that we saw, she was the one that ended it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I think
she's,
it's time for
she's
them to go.
She's being very smart about it. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I mean, she's really warming up to Callie, as we saw. They sort of, like, embraced. It was, like, a really nice embrace when they were getting off the boat. But for some reason, she doesn't rub me as wrong as Danny did.
Right, of course. I was just using that as an example, as but even though Danny did nothing bad, really.
There's still a feeling there that she wasn't...
That isn't very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I think that's the perfect transition to talk about Danny.
Oh, my God.
That was...
That scene where Brandon finally told, it was... Oh, my God. I thought it was, like, one of the most fascinating ones we've seen all season.
It was.
Hayden, you were talking about David's acting.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of David. He's an amazing actor. I definitely look up to him on the show. He's awesome. One of the first... The first crying scene that I ever did was with David, and it was when we were talking about Callie running away, and I was on the bed, and he really comforted me when I was really sad about her leaving, and that was awesome for me to be able to work with such an amazing, experienced, and professional actor who could really help me get to that place and feel those emotions during the scene. I mean, it was so much fun, and it was so cool doing that with him.
Yeah. To hear you speak like that, I just have to say I applaud your artistry. You know, you're younger and everything, but that's really inspiring, even for someone who's quite older than you. But it is, because I love how well-spoken you are, and that you're able to say that about him.
Thank
you.
So
you didn't just have the scene, you took something from it. And that's very important, I think, as an actor. I mean, you have more experience than I do also. But I do appreciate
it.
It's
the same
that's
idea.
Really
yeah, it's super cool. Everyone.
He is really good. I feel like he has a lot of sad things, but this is the one time that it pulled me in the most, where he was just, what were you supposed to do? Like, I felt like I was a high school kid again.
Yeah.
Well, and go ahead.
Sorry, just thinking about, like, in watching Terry in that scene, we've seen her be, like, strong and tough, and for the first time we saw, like, this vulnerable side of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was, like, I don't know, I thought I loved watching everyone's reaction to this
absolutely.
News. Just, like, the
it was
sickened
so good.
Looks
because
on
that's
their
what's
faces.
Important. That's if we were watching a real fight, that's what we'd be doing. We'd be looking at the other person's reaction to see what happens, because that's how you know they feel.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we all have the same language, which is our body and our facial expression. So the fact that they were able to translate that and communicate that through the screen was incredible.
And I thought that Lena, how she was very, she kind of played that strong
composed.
Role.
Yeah.
And she was so strong, and she was there for everyone when
Thank goodness
Steph
she
had
prepped.
That meltdown. I know, right? Thank goodness she knew before. because she was a really strong character. She had to be there and kind of make sure that everyone was okay, and that they would, you know, stay there and they would talk it out and they would make and come up with a solution before they all just went asking Danny or telling the police or anything like that. I thought that was very.
I agree. I love that.
They handled it the best way. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking about how, like, sort of the tables have turned with the characters on this show. Now Brandon's life has so many ups and downs, it's reminding me of Callie. Mm-hmm. And there was also some parallels in this episode. I mean, the last time we talked about rape, it was Callie. Mm-hmm. And now it's Brandon.
Well, yeah, girls go through things for some reason always before everyone else. I think it's like this is the time where, in a girl's age, that's the time that it's most complicated. And if you remember being a teenager, that's when I was the biggest brat. And it's not until later when guys start getting older, when they actually go through, you know, their growth spurt and everything else, that they start going through their own things. Because at the end of the day, he was taking the blame because he knew what he did. Yeah. But, you know, she should have just been, he didn't want to accept the fact that she had the opportunity to be like, no, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Instead, she just took it. Right.
Yeah.
And going back to what Jillian said, though, I think for them to acknowledge a gender difference, like, on camera, because a lot of shows, like, this is like a kind of a taboo storyline that made me feel really uncomfortable, which a lot of storylines don't.
Put it in perspective to me, too.
Yeah. What?
I said it put it into perspective to me, too, because I almost thought, well, yeah, isn't that bad? And then the second he was like, well, Mariana had the same thing happen, and right
they'd
away
run straight to the police.
Absolutely.
And to acknowledge that gender difference on screen just, like, elevated a little
bit.
Right.
Because
and
it's just
and
making
it
real.
Happen. It does happen. You know, we obviously don't see the stories that much more prevalent in the news when it happens where a male is raped by a female, but it's out there. And, you know, kudos to ABC Family for bringing up another thing. Like, let's add it to the
and
list.
And they're not finished, right?
Yeah, and they're not finished.
Yeah, they're not done.
I mean, I really appreciated it. And also, I mean, we sort of figured it when the whole... when the intimacy happened between Danny and Brandon, we sort of knew that we were looking at the ages and we were like, well, I don't think that's right. Yeah, that's definitely statutory rape.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But Danny is so conniving that, like, what is she going to pull out of her, like, you know, purse, like, as a story?
Oh, I know, because she already knows more from before, and... I don't know. That's going to be... She looks like that, especially since her face is so neutral all the time. You can... She has, like, a, you know...
Yeah, just, like, this neutral, facial expression that you can't really get a reading off of her. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. When she played Gia on Full House, I got flashbacks. I feel like she was taken away in a cop car, too, because she's
No, they were always in trouble. She got Stephanie to do... Oh, my God, I remember every episode.
Drink.
I know, to drink.
And smoke cigarettes in the bathroom. Yeah, bad girl.
Exactly.
Bad
girl.
I was really kind of amazed, too, like, how much Danny liked... Or Danny Nucci, Mike, liked Danny the character. I, like, never understood that before. He was, like, really heartbroken.
Oh, sure.
But I'm wondering, too, he's recently sober. Is he going to, like, get back into drinking because of this?
No, because it's another reason why he's not going to, because he doesn't want it to go to his son. The last thing he needs to do is to be an existing bad influence again, where the second it happened, did you see the look on Brandon's face when the first thing he said was, I don't want you to start drinking? He didn't even bring up anything else. It was the first thing that was most important, to let him know that I do care about you, son. I'm not thinking about this other woman. I'm thinking about what I've done to possibly... make this happen more.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, addiction isn't that, like, black and white. So I just wonder, like, is that going to creep back up?
True. I hope that it's not. I think we've dealt with it a lot.
I don't know. What do you think over here?
What are you thinking? It's pretty interesting. I mean, I think it's very cool that Danny was very concerned about, you know, him being an addict. And I mean, he was very concerned about him being raped, but he was also very concerned about, in the future, him continuing to drink, because, you know, Lena and Steph weren't very, you know, they didn't really think about that, because when he was telling the story, he said, I had a couple beers,
and I was
raped, and they were focusing on that, and I think it was very cool that Mike focused on the part that he was drinking, and he didn't want that to start, he didn't want that to escalate and continue. As for Mike continuing to drink, I don't think he will. I don't know.
I think
that's always a possibility. Yeah, you know, it can always come back into play. It can always come back and creep up on us.
I think why Mike really liked Danny so much is because she saved him. That's like something that people cling to, especially in, you know, being low in his addiction. She was sort of the beacon of light, and she was the one that picked him up, dusted him off, and was like,
and
all right.
And it was a woman who was showing him love. He... his last relationship, it wasn't even that it didn't work out. It was that he never had a chance to begin with. He had to accept it. That it just wasn't a possibility, and that he was just wrong. Then to have someone who wants to cook for him and clean for him and help him get sober, he's like, yes, I am loved.
Yeah.
And she also loves, like, everybody else, like, too.
A lot of, like, addiction, like, they, like, transfer their addiction.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, to her.
Did you just die when Steph was talking to Lena about, you know, divorcing Mike? And she was just like, I think it was to Lena. And she was like, you know, obviously Mike doesn't have the best taste in women.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a lesbian. Hello.
I know. But Lena made a good point. Yeah. She married a man.
Yeah, that was so
it shut her with the quickness.
Yeah, this character that Sherry saw him playing Lena has grown into is just, like, amazing.
And we're obsessed.
Like, the moderator we're talking about, just, like, the person that everyone in the house can turn to and, like, always get, like, their Oprah moment.
We also talk about the recovery from last week? Because, honestly, homegirl bounced back faster
than the power of a mother. She held it together until the second that her mom showed up at the door. Why? Because it's your mom, and you know that you're safe when she's around. And she trusted her. Her mom told her what she needed to know, and as a mother, she took it and was a boss about it.
I'm so impressed by Sherry Som. Today I was looking through her IMDb, being like, what has she done? Like, why? How is she this good?
Right.
And beautiful.
Right.
Oh my God.
She's incredible. I worked with her husband, and I didn't know, his name's Kumar. And he and I worked on a video game together. We did, motion capture.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And we did a video game together, and I didn't really talk to him after that. I mean, he was a very cool guy, and he was very nice, and I really enjoyed hanging out with him, but I didn't really, you know, follow up and communicate. And one day I got into the van to go home, and we were done filming, and he was in the van, and I was so confused as to why he was there. And Sherry got in, and she was like, hi, honey. And I'm like, what?
I know
what?
Your husband.
What?
Oh, how is this possible? Foster is the video game.
Yeah, it was before the Fosters. Oh, and weird. I had no idea they were married until they were... They were together.
Small world.
That's really funny.
It was really crazy.
Or small city, should I say.
Yeah. So it's like her husband in the video game was like, he had kidnapped me and was like beating me up. And Sherry Soms, like the kind mother who was like treating me like, you know, the little baby bird in the nest. It's really funny.
Aww. A baby bird, a baby Judicorn.
And continues, a baby Judicorn.
Baby Judicorn.
And all season, we've loved Jude and Lena's
Lena,
scenes.
Right. That's
They're
what.
They're the most sensitive and
absolutely.
Beautiful scenes.
Yeah. I love it because I like to look as the both of your characters, you're her. Like the biological son that she doesn't really have, because the two of you have like an undeniable relationship on the screen that it's just obvious to all of us. So I'm excited. I'm happy for her because I think that your character is what's going to be that helps her more and builds her more, because she's going to still have to nurture you and take care of you, and so she'll be able to feel that what she wanted to feel before.
Totally.
My favorite scene with Sherry Som, it's one of the older scenes, but it's still my favorite scene by far, is when Jude is taking off the fingernail polish in the bathroom.
Oh, and she
comes in and comforts him and lets him know that if people weren't different, and she talked to him. And I think that's by far my favorite scene that we've ever done together. I mean, it's such a good scene, and it's so powerful and so meaningful, and it's so touching to everyone. I think that was my favorite.
Those scenes are just so, like, quiet and, like, memorable.
Absolutely.
It changed the course of your character. You know, it changed everything, really.
It did.
And such a big storyline this season and last has been, like, the questioning of sexuality without labels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Have they talked to you about, like, the direction where Jude is going?
The writers, producers, everyone is still, including me, is still feeling out.
Oh, really?
We're basically experimenting as Jude is.
That's amazing.
We're still figuring out, you know, what does Jude like? You know, it's like he's a real person, and we're still figuring out how does he feel and what do we want to do with him. And I feel like it's such an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Because there's two completely different ways that both have amazing stories that you can go down. And you know, the fans all want one or the other, and and you know, there's the big Connor and Jude friendship that they both have. That's such a touching friendship. So we're all experimenting, we're all figuring it out, as Jude is. We're along with the ride.
And I think that's something we haven't seen on TV.
Yeah, that's
like
genius.
Not need to label it, but still explore.
Right.
That's awesome.
And considering his character's so young, I think that's perfect, because they need to allow your character to grow as it would in real life. That way it'll come off more naturally. Because at the end of the day, you really could just switch up. And there are a lot of younger you know, children who are, who go through your thing also, and they're really not one or the other. They're just kind. They weren't raised knowing that you couldn't be that way with a boy. So they're just acting normal to, like, whatever, like, their human instincts, if you will.
They're
drawn to who's kind to them, who shows them kindness, and that's it.
I think it's really nice, too, that the writers don't feel pressure to, like, make a decision. Oh, there's, like, I feeling
know,
it
yeah.
out.
And you know, too, I feel like in any other circumstance, on any other show, the fans would have a huge deal with it. But I think here,
they set it up so
we're exploring your character with you, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that we all go through the ebbs and flows of Jude.
Yeah.
And it's important because I feel like on another show like this, it would matter to me. Like, I would want to know, but
sure.
The way that they've written you, I think it's really interesting because it could go either way.
It's and very appropriate, too.
It's yeah. important. I mean,
and
it,
because of this family, the parents aren't forcing you to be like, oh, whoa, he's wearing nail polish, like, he has to be something.
Right, yeah, right. He's got to decide whether he's gay yeah. or not, and he mm-hmm. needs to let us know.
Yeah.
You landed in the right family.
Yeah.
You did.
Look at you lucking out, man.
I know, right?
Joe would have not had that. No. She would have been like, no, also, all girl school, then yeah. not an all boys school.
Archfield there. Yeah. Oh, but are we going to see the Blue for Jude storyline, like, pop up again this season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jude will, I mean, like that's kind of like, you know, his thing, you know, he's, you know, paints his nail polish. We saw that when he got adopted, he painted it, and he painted it with Mariana to kind of explore. So it's kind of like, you know, an eventful, very meaningful thing to him that's, mm-hmm. that he really enjoys.
I miss that.
So, I'm sure we'll see it again.
Yeah. It's, you know what I was thinking too about that experience? I think the reason why Jude even went through that also is because Callie never painted her nails. She was always around like a brother type, and Mariana's the first female, you know, that's the first girl that he's around, and not his mom's because those are obviously mother figures, mm-hmm. but just like an older sister who's like a girl and just, you know, she
paints her fingernails right. and is worried about boys.
And that's a little bit amusing because that's so pretty. She's so feminine and delicate. I can only imagine a young boy thinking like, ooh. Like, you know, but yeah, just not knowing how to identify the emotion.
Because it's completely different feeling. From him. You know, he's grown up with this very strong type sister who doesn't do all those things, you know, worry about her hair and paint her nails and do all these things that a lot of girls do. And I feel like he was very shocked and fascinated by the fact that Mariana was very into that.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't care what you are. Everyone likes something a little sparkly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's be real.
Come on.
No matter what you are.
Gel pens, stickers. Hey.
Everyone likes pretty things.
Yeah.
Dancing it's uniforms. So true. Mariana, we're talking about her. Nice.
Okay.
Nice. Yes. Thank you. Another
great
perfect transition
way.
Thank you. I practiced that one all night. In the mirror, repeatedly. So Mara.
Mariana.
That's her new Mariana. Character now. Mara.
Mara. That's the wig's name. Sorry. I named it.
The wig's name was Esmeralda.
Esmeralda.
Oh.
Yeah,
sorry. That's what the wig's name was.
Esmeralda. I missed that one. Sorry.
Yeah. No, Caitlin told us that. I was like, Mariana's weave is front and center. Yeah. We're waiting for her to get rid of it. We're hopeful.
But we haven't talked about Caitlin's hair. She has like three shafts of like locks for love hidden in there.
Oh my God. She's
a really big.
Okay, anyway. Donation.
Mariana. dancing.
Oh, Caitlin. I thought the Caitlin in the show.
Yeah.
Haley.
Haley.
Oh, there's so many actors with character names, and it makes me so confused. I love Caitlin. I love to hate her. She's my new Talia.
Oh, yes.
I love her.
She's so deceiving, and she's
wonderful.
Very interesting character.
The Mean Girls are here. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So Mariana is still dealing with her skills.
Yes.
With a Z.
And what's finally, I think what they made really obvious in this episode was that the supporting characters are what allowed it to happen, was to see that it's not even, it really is just about her fitting in. It's not, because the other girl was saying, well, why do you think I'm doing it? And she's like, oh, you've practiced enough. It's not about that. You always practice. You know, you prepare, you master your craft. And I think she's just thinking, how do I look that way when you're supposed to be thinking, how do I do this way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was finally obvious. And then I'm happy that the girl said, what do you want me to do? Dye my hair? I was like, oh, got told right there.
She wants to be perceived as something, but she also needs to put in the work behind it. Like, look at what she did to call Lena. You know, she wanted to take the easy way out. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to work for the spot. I'm just going to call mommy and see if she can do anything about it.
Right.
And good for Lena for, sticking with her plan. And The only thing that I didn't understand about Mariana this episode was she turned down Matt.
Yeah.
This is something that she's wanted. Now, I'm thinking, are you trying to be Caitlyn or Haley? Like, what are you trying to pull?
No, I think that she might have just had her own little... Because when he first got her, she was angry and then made her look like a, you know, like just googly eyes, like so quickly. And this time he comes and does it again. She's already been told once today. I think that she's starting to get the feel to be herself again and not so easy.
But think about it. When she was with every other guy that she's been introduced with, she has never played hard to get.
Right.
She has always been like, she's I'm down.
She's growing
up. Is it
up.
That she's like playing with the mean girls now and she like knows how to do that?
I don't think so, because she was just, it was the same thing before. I think that she's just finally coming into her own and she's trying to decide whether or not she could. She might be influenced as far as trying to be mean. I don't think she's still trying to be specifically mean.
Right.
She's just probably kind of picking up bad habits.
Hayden, what do you think?
I think that, you know, she's really just... I can't really decide. I mean, there's so many different feelings that you have about her, and there's so many different ideas behind it. And I think that my what I really think of when I think of that is she is trying to kind of play hard to get, but also she's kind of, I think that she's just had a bad day. Really, honestly, I think she's just had a bad day.
Good point.
She's kind of tired of everyone telling her that she needs to do this and that, and she can't take an easy way out. And I think that she knows that. And I think that she's kind of getting a little tired of hearing that. And she's like,
sure.
All right, that's fine. And then when he invited her to a movie, she was like, I don't really want you to sit there and tell me what I need to do and not to do. So I think I'll pass.
Yeah. And you know, for every character, this was the longest day.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd they get that name from? Wait, so with Matt, he asked her out one or two episodes ago.
Yeah.
That didn't happen yet, right?
Because it was supposed to happen on a Friday.
Right.
That was
did
like, what, a Wednesday?
Did this episode happen after
I think this episode was Thursday.
No, it was Saturday.
It was Saturday.
We're doing the 24-hour day by day.
Yeah, it was Saturday.
Right, so they're all week. They're super advanced.
Guys,
it must
we're
have been
really
that Friday.
Confused, okay? We just want them to be together. We just want her to make out with someone, okay?
But she is growing up, and at the end of the day, boys haven't, as much as she wants it, she's still the one who's a virgin. She's much more conservative, if you will. So.
But she's been pushing herself to be, like, more, like, sexually ambitious and, like, with her underwear in the guy's pocket.
Yeah,
last
she learned.
Oh, God, I forgot
you know?
About that.
You
know,
like,
Lord.
She's like, doesn't, she knows how to push herself.
I thought it was funny how she didn't necessarily know that that meant
right.
what it actually did. She was like, I thought we were just gonna make out.
Yeah, I knew it. No, like how she is, I knew that's what she was thinking. I was like, oh, she's totally just wants to make out with him, and that's it. And that is sex for her.
Yeah.
Dude, Talia for the win.
Okay. Talia for the win.
Oh my
win.
God, where is Bailey Madison on this?
Madison.
Talia.
She filmed a movie. She is in like a horror movie. It looks great.
Man.
You gotta look it up. Come on.
I watched
the trailer, Madison. You look great. She's playing like a dead girl. She looks really creepy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, weird.
Anyway, Mariana.
All right. I think we covered Mariana.
We did cover Mariana.
I mean, she just needs to put in the work.
Oh. Next,
okay,
right?
Steph's warming up.
Yeah, right.
That's who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a love triangle between you and
no
you, Haley, and who?
What's your brother's character on the show?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh,
that guy.
Jesus. JT Austin.
That guy. Oh my God. Fans. She's a liar. No. Before
They're
we're done.
You out.
Before we're done, I want to ask Hayden some questions about you basically being silent. How was that to film? Because, you know, you literally just had to use your face or ignore people. I mean, you're a really personable kid, so how hard was that for you?
I feel like a lot of people, not to say that people don't really understand, not to say that they don't understand, mm-hmm. but it's a lot harder than it would look, because in real life, or even in a scene, when you're angry or you're happy with someone, you tell them that. You use words to sort of express how you feel about them. So when I was portraying Jude and he was a mute, it was interesting, because you would have to talk to someone but not talk to them. And only use your face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would have to give them something, but without giving them like a direct answer. It's not like nodding yes or no, but you're also kind of hinting at which thing you kind of want to go for. So it was pretty difficult. I thought it was super cool that he kind of went mute, and I thought it was very, I mean, it was very fun to play, but it was a little difficult.
That's a hard acting exercise.
Mm-hmm. You made me cry so much when your hand on Callie's arm. Oh, like,
it was super.
You made me cry in this episode, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, your little speech at the end was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're all in tears.
You always know how to, like, wrap up an episode with, like, a great zinger speech.
Yeah.
I love that. Judicore.
I've done it again.
Or, like, the anchor report about, like,
Anchor Beach.
So yeah, what Anchor Beach means.
Give it to us again.
Give it to us.
I don't know.
Okay. Mom, can we read the script?
Yeah, right.
All right. We ready to talk about the infamous love triangle? I don't think that wrestling with Emma helped the situation any in the beginning. Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I do. You know they share the gym, so that was inevitable. The moment that he had told her about the dinner.
I'm saying Jesus wrestling with Emma.
When they were wrestling together.
They have to. She's supposed to be treated like an equal.
Yeah.
Well, sexual tension, baby.
No, because she already made it clear. She already made it clear, and he's already, he has the sexual tension. He's all about Haley right
Is
now.
He? Is he?
I was like, that.
He's a teenage boy. That's what he thinks he wants.
They got more action in the wrestling ring than they did in the back of that car.
I really disagree.
I feel like he went back to Haley because he had to for Mariana's sake, and because Haley thought they were dating, and he didn't want to know how to, like, break up with her, so he's like, okay, fine, it's easier to say fine.
She's hot, and she's giving him, you know, what...
I think we're going to see Jesus
She's
back with
him
Emma
the for free.
Within
She's
three
him
episodes.
Him
free.
Yeah, I don't
So
think...
by the finale.
Yeah.
So by the finale,
I think
Jesus
so, too. Emma's character is strong enough for that, and Haley's obviously
fireworks.
Not honest.
Listen.
Emma's a good person, so he'll eventually go to the good person.
Caitlin Carver is lovely. We had her in studio, but I am Team Gemma. I ship Gemma still.
Really?
Till the end.
I know, actually,
I think that it's true. I think that it's right.
But
I just think
also,
that it's right.
We saw how Caitlin Carver Haley is playing him. She's like a manipulator. Yeah. And we saw that for real this episode.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew she was going to find a reason to not let him go to the
gym.
With her parents
what a hater.
Getting divorced.
And honestly, and you know what it is too? A lot of girls are angry. They get jealous when boys are capable of even arguing with a girl. Because they're like, I want to argue too. Because they don't, you know, they don't have that.
You're
and
right,
you
right.
can only argue with someone that you care about. If you don't care about them, you're like, stop talking to me. I'm not even going to waste my breath. Like, get out of here.
But how dumb is Haley? Like, she knew that's an easy lie. You're going to find out.
Maybe that just goes to show you what she thinks about Jesus, but he wasn't.
She already got him to not go to the dinner, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think that she really cared about that. I mean, I think that she knew that eventually she would be busted, but I think that that was the only thing that she could really use to deceive him. And
at that moment.
At that moment, yeah.
Haley. Bye.
Oh my God.
Bye.
Also, Emma is the dance captain, the wrestling captain now. Drama.
I'm so excited for the tension. Guys, this is it.
Yeah.
I think Emma's just mad because they're in the same weight class. And she, like, wants, you know.
I don't know. You see,
she
my
wants to weigh less than him.
I feel like I want to. I know that Emma's this.
But you want to trade places with her?
No, but I just want to see her. I don't see how they could rekindle something because she's just so.
I'll tell you how. Love. It's love, baby. Also, like, young kids in love. Like, it's like one and that's it. You think that is it? You'll learn, Hayden. You'll learn.
He's like one and where's more?
Yeah, right?
I'm supposed to be next. I'm supposed to be the next one.
She'll take him back.
Oh, okay.
For Jesus.
She'll take him back.
Kidding. I'm probably so annoying. Everyone, tweet me today. Stephanie, shut up.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't
listen,
do that.
I ship Gemma, but I also ship. I also ship Jeff, Steph, and Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah,
I ship never name. Heard that one. Well, I've heard a lot of them.
It's for me.
It's for her.
It's for Steph.
Oh, okay. Now, I was like, Steph and Jesus, like mother and son, you know, like a mother and son type connection. Like, that's cool. I've never heard that before, but that's awesome.
You're very easygoing.
We're starting new things now. Don't worry, girl.
You're a little too nice. Okay.
We got you here.
Jeff
will
win.
Oh, my God.
He's not 16, right?
Not
JT Austin in real life?
No. Stephanie.
No, oh, my God.
Not in real life.
No,
he's not.
Okay, speaking of how nice you are, talk to us about the be good to each other campaign. What is that?
Gavin? I'm working on a campaign. It's for, so a lot of foster kids, when they go and they're not and they're not in a foster care home.
Yeah.
They're not in the system, but they're also not in a home. It's kind of like the in-between house.
Oh.
And when they're moving from the home that they're in to other homes and other places, a lot of times the kids don't have anything to take their bags or storage in. So I thought that was, well, my mom and I thought that that was a very touching and sad thing. So we came up with the idea of creating a campaign that would give bags to kids that didn't have them when they were moving from place to place.
Just for all of their belongings.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a big deal to have to move around. It's just like, at least do it easily, you know?
And and it's just, you know, it's a simple thing.
It's
a small problem, but
at least the little things that they have now, they can keep it with them for sure.
Yeah. Wow,
look at that,
Judicorn. You truly are.
You're growing up right before our eyes. Oh,
I know.
My gosh, I can't deal.
Yeah, that's such like a major thing that I would never have thought of.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, we went to a movie called Short Term 12 and kind of saw what it was like. And it was a very touching story and idea, and we didn't really, you don't really think about that when you think of like all the struggles that they go through. You don't think that clothing would be one of them, but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. And we just thought that it would be a way to help them when they're moving.
That is so cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You get another pound on that.
Fair, right?
Guys, we're going to continue talking to Hayden. We got to jump to predictions because we're running out of time.
Yes.
Let's do them briefly.
Sure.
Starting with...
You're after Buzz.
Okay, let the thing roll. The biggest thing we saw on the trailer was the fire.
Right.
That couldn't be their house, right?
Yeah. Someone said something about the Girls United home.
Oh, because that's coming up soon.
Right, so that's possibly going to be, that's on fire, and then Callie might be involved by trying to help.
Looks like Mariana was kissing Matt or someone. Mm-hmm. We saw a flash
of
that.
She'll get put into her place finally and have that new romance start and kindle.
I need Callie to find out about Danny.
Right.
That's what I need.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Now they're really setting them up to be together because forever in their life, they'll have everything in common. We were both raped when we were younger.
So many parents.
So many parents.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm really excited to see if and when the rest of the family finds out about the Brandon Danny situation. They're going to have to if he's like going to court, you know?
Oh yeah.
And then also we are going to go back to the Girls United house in the next one or two episodes. Right. I don't remember when.
So that we'll see if that is the, if something happens.
And something dramatic happens, although something always dramatic happens.
Right.
Oh, I'm very nervous.
It's kind of all up in the air. You know how normally we know exactly what's supposed to be next?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've already finished this part. So now we are about to start with new plots.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jillian? Many changes.
Aren't I right?
Guys, I really need to find out about Callie and Brandon, and that's all I'm going to say. Because if you want to hear more of my predictions, you can find me on Twitter, and that would be great.
Oh my God! Yeah. All right, Hayden, what are you looking forward to in the coming season that's not filmed? Any hopes or desires?
Something that I really enjoyed is when all of the kids and all the family are like a family, they're doing stuff together, like they're going to different areas. Mm-hmm. The party, the episode where they had the party, all the kids at the party, that was a really fun episode, and that was really cool. So
you
I want to see
ladies
more of that.
In that episode. So good.
Yeah, right. Jude was kind of showing off to Connor's dad.
That was awesome.
Telling him what's what. So I just want to see the family really come together and have those really touching family story moments. I thought that was my favorite part of it.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for being here again.
Yes,
thank you for having me.
Tell us everybody where they can find you on social media.
You can find me, Hayden Byerly on Twitter and at Byerly11 on Instagram.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
You can find me on Instagram and, Twitter at Jillian Leff. I also host the Mystery Girls After Show at 8 on Wednesdays. And what about you, Steph?
You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, G-I-O-R-G-I, and on Instagram and on Vine at StephieG47, as well as Hayden's mother. You can find her on Instagram and on Twitter.
At Michelle Byerly.
At Instagram, at Michelle Byerly.
Mm-hmm. And be sure it's her birthday today.
So yeah,
sure
tell her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, mama.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next Monday.
Thank you so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.